Unit 1, Introduction to Research, Research Process, and Terminology. Let's start Module 1, Introduction to Research, with Unit 1, Research Process and Terminology. This unit asks three questions. 1, what is research? 2, who does research? And 3, why do you research? This lesson will help you understand the role and limitations of research, as well as the key terminology and stages of the research process. Let's start with our first question. What is research? Research is a process to collect data, which you then combine and analyze to produce information that can be used as evidence to answer your research question. Data means individual, unconnected points that give some fact or answer to a question. For example, you might take a group of people and test whether each person has a certain health condition. Let's say malaria. The answer for each person, yes or no, would be a piece of data. Information is what you get when you combine the data and analyze it to produce something useful, something that tells you something about the world. Using the malaria example, you can combine each individual yes or no answer to the question, do you have malaria, to get the total number of people with malaria. Let's say we test 11 people and we get 6 yeses and 5 nos. 6 out of 11 people we tested had malaria. That can be useful for healthcare providers to prepare treatment and work on prevention. You can also combine that yes-no data with other data, for example, the location of the individual's house, so you can get other information, like the parts of town with the most malaria. Finally, evidence is when you use that information to support some conclusion or recommendation. When have you heard the word evidence before? You might think of evidence in a court trial. In that case, evidence can be words or items that prove or disprove a case. Or you might think of evidence in a project report, like what evidence do you have that your project worked? In that case, evidence can be testimony from the people your project helped, photos of the community water source before and after your project, or news articles about changes that happened in the community. You could use the total number of people with malaria as evidence to say that malaria is still a problem in your town. You could use the information about which parts of town have the most malaria as evidence to design a strategy of awareness raising that focuses on those parts of town. To summarize, data is individual pieces or answers, like the yes or no to the question, does this person have malaria? Information is when you combine the data to tell you something new about the world. For example, the number of people who have malaria in this town, or the parts of the town with the most cases of malaria. Finally, evidence is when you use data or information to support a conclusion or a main point. Now that you know these key terms, let's talk about the research process. We can break down the research process into a cycle. It's a cycle because most research leads to answers and new questions. And then you might start a whole new research project to answer those new questions. First, you start your research with a question. What do you want to know? Your question is usually about a population, which is a certain group of people. It can be a geographic population, like everyone living in a certain country or province. Or it can be a more defined population, like all young people in a certain city, or all people with HIV/AIDS, or participants in a women's empowerment program. You usually can't just go and talk to each person in your population and ask them your question. Usually, your research question would be difficult for them to answer directly. For example, what was the impact of air pollution on tourism in Mandalay? You will not have time to talk to each member of your population. You may need to turn your question into a more detailed methodology. For example, you might collect data about the number of tourists and the level of air pollution in Mandalay in each month. You might ask people who work in the tourism industry if they noticed any difference. These are all parts of the methodology. What data are you looking for? How can you answer the larger question you're interested in? By asking a lot of smaller, more simple questions. You also can't talk to everyone in your population, so you choose what we call a sample. A sample is a smaller number of people from your population. Then you collect the data only from the people in your sample. Then you put that data together and ask, what can I learn from this data about the sample? Let's say you talk to 20 hotel owners. Did they have fewer guests when there was high air pollution? Finally, you ask, what does this data tell me about the whole population? Even though I only talked to, let's say, 20 out of 100 hotel owners, can I take that information from these 20 hotel owners and assume it is probably true or close to true for all of them? When we get to sampling in Unit 7, we will talk about how you can do that. You can never be totally sure that the information you found for the sample will apply exactly to the population. There are ways to be more sure, which we will talk about in Unit 7. But there will always be error, which is okay. Research is all about understanding, accepting, and being transparent about why you might be wrong, but still trying to come up with useful information that can be used as evidence to make things better. Our second question is, who does research? Now that you understand a little about the research process, let's talk about who does research. Lots of different people do research for lots of different reasons. You've probably seen and participated in different types of research, maybe without even realizing it was research. Here, we will mention three kinds of research you might come across. First, policy research. Second, academic research. And third, monitoring research. Policy research is usually done by an NGO, other civil society organization, or research organization, like a think tank. Policy research tries to describe something about the world and gather evidence that can support changes in policy or practice to improve a problem. For example, education policy research might study dropout rates in rural schools and why students are dropping out, in order to advocate for changes in education policy that can prevent dropouts. Policy research can also demonstrate the failure of a government policy and argue for changes in that policy. For example, a women's organization could research women's participation in a peace process and publicize the results, saying that the government is not meeting its commitments to involve women in the peace process. Usually, this type of research tries to use the research to come up with recommendations to improve the situation they are researching. The research could then be used for advocacy, negotiations, or to develop more effective programs or other related uses. Academic research is a mix of theory and fieldwork. Academic researchers want to find out not only what is going on in the world, but how to better understand the world. Theory relates to how we understand the world. For instance, what makes a peace process successful? How can we understand relationships between rebel groups and the communities they seek to represent? What motivates people to volunteer or donate money? These are all questions that theory might answer. Academic research is usually connected with a university or other academic institution, and the results are intended to be published in an academic journal or a book. This means it has to meet high standards and be approved by other academic researchers. Academic researchers also have to follow the rules set by their home institutions or the places where they work, especially rules about ethics. They must go through an ethical review process called an IRB, Institutional Review Board. Through this and other processes, the university will have some control over where a researcher can go and how they can do their research. Third, monitoring is another type of research. It is more long-term or ongoing than most research projects. The same data is collected at regular intervals, for example, every month or every 6 months, and the results are used to show how a situation is evolving or changing. Examples of monitoring include election monitoring, when civil society watches and documents how a government implements elections, monitoring of conflict, human rights, or large business projects such as oil pipelines, to determine any negative impact on the environment or human rights, or regular surveys assessing food security in an area that has high risk of famine. The aim of these projects is to provide an outside perspective on a project or situation that has a risk of causing harm, and to provide alerts if a situation becomes more dangerous. As research projects, monitoring efforts usually use a standardized tool with a set of questions that are asked and answered on a regular basis. They may require a lot of time and people to make sure the questions are asked at the right times in the right ways. They usually publish results regularly, like once a year, instead of one report at the end, like many other research projects. Our third question is, why do research? Research can help you understand your work, the community you work with, and the issues you work on. We call this descriptive. It describes what is going on and can help you better understand a complicated situation. In this way, research can also help you and others make decisions by showing what is going on and suggesting what the results might be from certain decisions. Research can also provide evidence, but you should gather the evidence first, then use that evidence to develop recommendations or proposals based on what you learn from the research process. You should not use research just to look for evidence that supports your opinion while ignoring evidence that does not support it. You should always start your research with an open mind. If your findings go against what you have observed, do not ignore it, but try to understand it. Were you basing your opinion on only a few cases? Was there something wrong with your research question or methodologies? For example, people might have answered your questions falsely if they were embarrassed or ashamed by the true answers. These and other problems may cause errors in the results. However, you should not assume a surprising answer is based on error, but you should review your research and maybe try a new method that seems more reliable. You should also not use research about the past or present to guarantee the future. Research can never promise what the outcome of a policy or other change will be. For example, you might research women's participation in politics because you want to find out how to increase women's participation. Your research can find out about the current situation, but you can't be sure that following your recommendations will lead to improvements. That's it for the introduction to the research process and key terms. In the next unit, we will learn how to select a research question and how to do a desk review to make sure your question is relevant and original.